Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined in the studio by our old mate Chris Tarrant.
Brilliant.
He's written a new book, not really an autobiography, but some great old stories from his life, collection of yarns in the after dinner envelope. But they were great. He was on really good form. So it was good to see him. Hope you enjoy that. We had a bit of a chat.
We did, yes. Talked a lot about last
Talked a bit
game.
Of football and more. And also, we had a birthday spread. Another thriller for you. So, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. And what a game it was last night. Wasn't it incredible, really? Especially, took a bit of time to get going.
Yeah.
But I just thought, you know, one of the things that came out to me, when Madrid were pressing at the start of the second half, they really could have done with a Harry Kane up front. They'll have Haaland next season, but they...
You're trying to sell him now, are you?
Well, no, they've got Haaland, so it looks like they have. So, you know, it's what they needed. They did, you know, it was difficult for them. At first half, though, I thought they were, you know, well on top. And they're so close, weren't they? Two up and all that. They should really have gone through, but...
It was
the third team Madrid have done that to. They did it to PSG.
It was absolutely mad, wasn't it? And I saw Henry Winter saying earlier on, you know, they've got this idea of having this... because they did it during lockdown, going off for a week and making the one-off games. But you'd lose so much. Think how dramatic the two-legged semi-finals have been.
They're not going to do that. With the money involved, there's no way they'll do that.
Well, no, but they talk about taking... but they could sponsor, they can package that up from a financial point of view, or kind of week in Portugal or a week in Spain where you play the two semi-finals. And I agree, I don't think it should be a tournament.
Champions League semi-finals are often the best games of the year.
I know.
So why change something that's brilliant?
Why mess with it? But, you know, on that criterion,
Why
would they mess with anything?
Well, that's true. Talking of messing with stuff, I've actually got an idea I might be pitching to Arsene Wenger. It's my new system of biased refereeing. Based on that bloke last night who really favoured the home
had
team.
Had a mayor, didn't he?
He did, really. I think you should avoid accusations of being a homer and just go for it. So each half, the referee wears the club shirt of the team.
Wouldn't that get confusing, though, when you end up passing to him?
You should wear the club badge or the away kit. And he basically, he referees it fairly, but he gives every 50-50 to the team he's wearing the shirt of for one half, and then the second half he does that.
Is a consistency.
Yeah, Arsene Wenger, I thought he'd love that one, I think.
I mean, I'm all for referees like leaving it late to give a yellow card, because then you don't get a flurry of them, but that was taking it
Casemiro,
too far.
Casemiro, for goodness sake.
That was...
And then some of the yellows he did later, I don't know how that.
The first one on De Bruyne could have been a red. I've seen referees in Europe give those as reds. It was a terrible tackle.
It was...
And then to add insult to injury by putting up 3 minutes when it should have been at least five, and then not even playing.
It's poor, wasn't it?
He was deliberately trying to wind them up.
Steve McManaman he wanted to say that Madrid were running down the clock, but he kept saying things like, they're breaking the clock, they're slowing the clock down. You think we can't do that, really?
Yeah.
It's running down the clock. That's what it is. But never
That's
mind.
Right, there we go. Although, you know, when City were in the box seat, there was some top S-housery from them.
Yeah, of course.
There was some top tactical fouling. So it was quite difficult to have a go at Real Madrid when they started
it's funny
later
on. You know, I do my notes during the game, and I was just writing down, City have been very poor in transitions, and then they score and go on the break and score.
Yeah.
Brilliant, well done. And but when Mario's got that goal, you thought, they're definitely through now. Yeah, they should have been, really.
Madness. Anyway, we are going to have a chat with Stephen Sylvester, who's worked in football Premier League clubs in the past. And it's a big job for Pep to pick the team up. I mean, he was sort of pretty philosophical at the end when he was chatting to Des Kelly, wasn't he? And sort of quite, You know, we
it's not like him. He's usually quite churlish.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't at all chippy, was he? He was. He seemed, I don't know, quite stoic.
You
really
think it's got to affect them, though? You know, it's really. I mean, Liverpool. You know, they were in trouble, but they second half they were brilliant on Tuesday night, and you know the quadruple. Unless soon to be extinct FC can stop them in the FA Cup final, I think it's looking bad.
Soon to be extinct FC. Couple of things to get you going on. Now, Andy obviously used to work in the fashion business, so he'll tell me if this was true or not. Wayne Rooney had a very nice suit on for a Derby County evening, but it did look as if his kecks were being held up with a bit of string. Have you seen?
No, they were. It was a drawstring trouser.
You can tell he's in fashion because he doesn't sing. Doesn't say they're drawstring trousers. He said they're a drawstring trouser.
Oh, they
singular.
Were ideal for the expanding girth. Girth crooks. No, that's what they are. I don't want to say anything about people's bodies because I'm in no position to
do you
talk.
Wear a drawstring trouser?
I think Wayne could do with a bit of...
He's admitted that. He said
Colleen says he likes lettuce. That's his favourite food.
Well, it is now, I think. I don't know. It's always been the case. In a kebab, possibly. No, but as part of all the salads and the chilli sauce. But he's admitted his weight has fluctuated
a bit. Worrying,
really. But I just wondered, sometimes in life you do have to improvise. This sounds like a Charlie's choice. Often on a Thursday, Charlie comes up with a ridiculous cool topic.
Oh, marvellous.
So what did you hold your trousers up with? Would be this sort of thing. Yeah. But it's not just that. I've mentioned before, my missus had this old Fiat Panda years ago, and I went to a friend's house, shut the door, and touch shonky they were. No disrespect to Fiat, but that was quite an old one.
In the old days.
We closed the door, and the bit that the door closed onto, the kind of metal bar, then broke off, sheared off. By the sheer force of closing the door and fell inside the door. So basically I couldn't close the door and I thought, how am I going to get home? I was about 3 miles from home and I thought, it's a bit of a mad thing to phone the RAC for. So I took my belt off.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And I put my belt around my leg and put it on the handle of the door. Like a sort of
tight... That's a real improvised situation.
But, you know, of course, every time I sort of took a left, I was frightened the old leg was going to swing out. It was a mason. What's he doing that for with a leg?
That's not
good. But anyway, I got home. I'm sure it probably wasn't the greatest idea, but I thought that was probably the easiest thing to get home rather than call a welder. Ways you improvised sartorially, if you'd like to tell us your tales this afternoon, like Wayne did, or maybe he didn't, it's a drawstring trouser. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. Also, today, you're probably aware that last week Brendan Rodgers bought his old friend and colleague Jose Mourinho a £500 bottle of wine.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's a bottle of Barsavea, £500, vintage, 1964 vintage. And Jose said, "I'm going to reciprocate." And Brenda said, "Well, don't, because I much prefer a cup of tea. I'm not a big I'm not a big wine fan.
Really?
You don't need to buy me anything." So
you buy him some very nice oolong tea or something, very rare leaves.
Oh, okay, that's good. I know you're a bit of a tea specialist.
Not really.
But I think he's bought me another bottle of wine. And he said, well, if he doesn't want it, I'll drink it. So I just, that thing of the unwanted gift, it was always the kind of staple of the small ad. You know, someone would say, you know, sort of oxyacetylene cutting equipment, unwanted gift. Who bought that for you? You know what I'm saying? And it always was accompanied by the word hence. Unwanted gift, hence.
Quick sale.
Yeah, that was the kind of thing. So the unwanted gifts in the Brendan Rodgers Jose envelope, we'll have a few of those today and what you did with them. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. John says, I don't quite get your show. Is it a sports show, a comedy show, or a sports comedy show? I don't think it's any of the three, John. I haven't got a clue.
Just the 21 years, John. Don't worry about it, mate.
We still haven't worked it out. Now, throughout the show today, you've been...
Maybe why we've never won an award, you know.
Who knows what it is? Well, they do have a category for sports show comedy show sports comedy show.
We don't fit in anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're not very good, but apart from that.
We're not very good. That would be the other reason. So we're going to play you. Andy took to Spotify, didn't you, earlier on? And you wanted to see how many different versions there were of Three Lions.
Yeah, because in the report this morning that's turned out to be not actually accurate, it said that Robbie Williams and Russell Brand did a version of Three Lions. I've never seen it, and I couldn't find it.
You couldn't find it.
So if anybody knows where it is, do let us know. Yeah. But we did find some other very obscure
Andy's
versions.
Been driving us mad for the last hour, playing these versions quite loud on his phone in a very tinny way.
Yeah.
So in a slightly less tinny way, we're going going to bring you some of the versions of three lines, because it is, as we've heard from the FA, still very much part of their plans. This is Three Lines by Chugga Boom. When we return, Stephen Sylvester, sports psychologist, will be joining us to tell us how he'd be picking up the City players after last night. It's coming up!
Sounds better than David Bedell.
More in tune. That is very true. Anyway, more Three Lions versions. That's a bit out there, isn't it? Throughout the show. Bit, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming, it's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home. Everyone seems to know the score. I've seen it all before, they just know.
That's the kind of Heidi High version of it. That's by the Baseballs. Because we sang earlier on that because Three Lions in the news today, the story suggesting the FA didn't want it played, the FA even issuing a statement today saying that's not the case, we're still very much behind the song. And Andy realised there's quite a lot of different versions of it if you take to Spotify. So yeah. We've had a sort of death metal version, believe it or not. And that was your kind of old school laid back rock and roll Vince Prince, Russ Abbott version.
Not bad.
So there we are. We'll play you a couple more throughout the afternoon.
And also the idea that it inspires the opposition is not, it's rubbish, because they'll find another motivation, you know, and say that was the reason, because they sang Sweet Caroline and Caroline's not a popular name in Croatia or wherever it is. they'll find some way.
You found an angle there. Well, what about that? What I mean. Maybe you know, that's very true. They'll be feeding off of that whoever we play in the World Cup.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We spoke to Angus McDonald earlier on. He was at the airport. He's about to fly to Vegas in about 45 minutes. It's time with the rest of the Rotherham United team after they won promotion and the Papa John's.
What do they look like?
What Angus didn't tell us is that they are, I don't know if they're all dressed or just some of them, but he is very much dressed as the 118 man. Remember that?
Yeah,
very zeitgeist, isn't it? I mean, let's be the 118. I mean, how many years ago was that?
A long time.
It's got to be about 15
years. It's based on
years,
David Bedford, isn't it? The 118.
Yeah. But anyway, some of the Rotherham players have gone for it. So if, I, I'm guessing they're at Manchester Airport. So if you are at Manchester Airport, Dan, you see a lot of 118 men. That's the Rotherham United team about to go on the lash in, well, I think they've already started by the sound of it, in Las Vegas.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy.
Yes, earlier we were talking about Wayne Rooney's trousers.
That's the sort of hard-hitting agenda we have on this show. If you didn't watch the City game, that's what we've focused on. We have talked about that as well. Wayne Rooney's trousers were held up by what looked like a pyjama cord. But it was high fashion.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. It's more comfort fashion, I'd say.
You think so? Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. It's like those shoes that old people have that, you know.
Do you think he's wearing them? I think so. Fair enough. So it gives him a little. He hasn't got a gusset fitted.
Why doesn't he run about during training with the lads?
Well, he does. I mean, I think they're singling him out. He's admitted. He was talking about this the other day that his weight's been fluctuating a bit. It's not easy to keep it off.
Well, it's going in one direction. That's not
you
fluctuating.
You sitting there with your elasticated waist.
I like an elasticated waist.
Sure, you do.
But the I enjoyed yesterday the Reader's Offer trousers. They're stain repellent. I was fascinated by this. It says tailored in a soft quality 100% cotton with stain resistant coating that protects the fabric from spills by repelling stains. I think what paint. Well, strawberry juice. It wouldn't, would it?
Well, I mean, it would repel certain things. You get to a certain age and you need
custard,
them.
Maybe.
You need them refelling. repelling, should I say.
Not refelling. I was thinking the great Kenny Sampson could have done with it when I spilt strawberries on his lap when he was wearing a very nice pair of non-stain resistant white trousers at a Bunbury game once. I volunteered to take all the strawberries around to serve them to the rest of the table.
And being ex-Arsenal, you just threw them into Kenny's lap, did you?
A whole load into Kenny's lap.
Really?
Just with his white trousers.
Properly chucked them in.
He wasn't happy, but then I don't blame him. I wouldn't have been happy either if Kenny had.
Not many men can carry off a white trouser, can they? But
especially
Kenny is one of them.
Strawberry juice down the front of it.
It's never a good look for the rest of the day if you're going on somewhere. You can't say to everybody, it wasn't me, it was Andy Jacobs. He's a klutz.
That's very true.
A letter to one of the... I know you like a letter to the papers, Andy. This was Doug Morris from Monmouth. He wrote to the Telegraph, posh waste of ink.
Oh, yeah.
He said, "Sir, having just bought some more deodorant, I'm wondering why it needs to offer 72 hours protection. Do people only shower twice a week now?" I'm thinking, I wouldn't open with that one at the store. I'd bury that in the middle of the set. Wouldn't open with that one, really. Yeah, it's not Jerry Seinfeld, is it? But well done, Doug.
There's definitely a way to get these letters published. This bloke, Stuart, wrote to the Daily Star. He said, "The Daily Star is the best of all round newspapers."
Oh, that always helps.
It always has been and always will be. And Editor-in-Chief John Clark's description, it's really gone detailed,
of it being... Pear Tree Productions, isn't Alan Partridge?
Being informing, entertaining and uplifting is so very true.
Yes.
To be honest, I'd buy it no matter how much it costs. What, if it costs like £1,000 a copy, you'd buy it, even
chuck in a pair of stain-resistant trousers.
And Les Holt, who I think he's upped his quota. I think he gets about 3 or 4 letters published a week now.
Yes.
He said he just loves talk TV.
Well, that's good.
Great.
Well, that's very good of him.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport, making a welcome return to the studio to chat about his new book, not an autobiography. It's called It's Not a Proper Job. Chris Tarrant, good to see you, Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Yes, indeed, you certainly are. It's always good to see
good
you.
Good title.
Yes, a good title.
Well, it's not, is it? You know that. We do.
That's why it's a good title.
He sits there with handmaidens washing his feet.
He does all the work.
you do point out at the start, it's not an autobiography. You didn't want it to be
it's
that
too complicated, although I'd probably never do one. But it was just funny stories and silly. I mean, most of mine will say, so many stupid things happen to you. And I go, yeah, I seem to attract them. And also funny people, lovely, daft people I've met over the years and all that. And I just thought, I mean, it was COVID time. We were locked down and all that. For a while, I was sort of, like all of us, frightened. And then I started missing work a bit, not a lot, but a bit. And then I thought, maybe I'll just write some of this stuff. What's happened now, though, since I finished it, mates of mine, usually in public houses, go, well, you must have done that bit, you know, about that night. And I go, oh, no, I never did that.
Well, there's a volume 2 coming.
Well, yeah, my missus goes, you must mention that night when you did. I go, oh, no, I didn't put that one in. So it's still not a proper job, or It's not a proper job too.
Yeah. No, it's not a proper job too. I loved it. There's one thing I love right at the beginning of the book, because most people think, often people must have said it for you for years, how do I get involved in radio? I'm very driven. I really want to be involved. And you were to an extent, because you put this letter together saying, I'm the face of the 70s. But when you actually get your foot in the door, you have this incredibly laissez-faire attitude.
Incredibly.
You can't be bothered to actually start the job
they
give you.
They offered me a job. ATV Birmingham. I wrote this awful letter, including the famous phrase, I am the face of the 70s. This is your chance to snap me up. Oh, dear. I showed it to my dad, and he went, you stupid. Anyway, for whatever reason, a couple of stations asked me for an interview and whatever. So ATV offered me a week's work. Now, this was in October, and I was living down in Dorset with my then missus, and, you know, we're having a great time. And I was living by the Dorset Stour, and I was fishing every day. Brilliant river. I was catching loads of fish, and I was loving it. And then they offered me this job in Birmingham, starting sort of as soon as possible, 1 week's work with a view to hopefully a long contract and all that. And I came up with this thing. I don't know where it came from. I said, as soon as I can, I'm writing a screenplay. This is complete nonsense. I'm fishing. I was buying magnets. So this, and this went on for weeks, and they kept saying, well, and eventually after Christmas, it was sort of, so by now we're Christmas 1970, you know, just coming into 72. And they started saying, well, look, you know, we can only hold it open so long. I said, oh, yeah, I'm nearly finished. I'm just in the last chapter, the screenplay and all that. God. So, if you look at, well, you will know, you chaps in a station like this, that the river fishing season ends on March the 14th.
Mm.
And my first ever contract in television with ATV Network Birmingham starts on March the 15th.
Perfect. But you
I
had
was
a proper
so laid back.
Yeah. You had a proper job. I didn't realise this. You were a teacher.
I was teaching in New Cross to 15-year-olds. It wasn't the best fun. And yeah. When I did Tis Was, I mean, when the obvious journalist link was Chris learnt his love of children from teaching. Well, you didn't love 15-year-olds in New Cross. Yeah. And I don't think Tis Was demonstrated any great love of children anyway. It's an obvious link, but it's nonsense.
You got that gig when you were working in TV at first. You got the eccentric stories, the sort of roller skating vicar
all
and
those,
the squirrel that played chess and all
those,
that sort of
all
stuff.
A soot juggler was one.
How
seriously,
does that work?
It just went everywhere.
Yeah.
all sorts. A bloke who lived in his house in Wolverhampton with a Shetland pony. And it was a lovely little pony, and he was a very nice man, but the house just stank.
Wouldn't
it? Oh, all sorts. I mean, I did all those. And I think by then, they were starting up. They wanted somebody slightly off the wall to do this Saturday morning children's show, as it was.
Yeah.
So I joined that for a sort of extra £25. Well, what was a weird thing was, I was still doing the news and stuff, and it got to this point. They started talking about a credibility gap between Tis Was and the news, which is fair enough. And I'd literally be reading about a bus crash on a Friday in, you know, Bilston, and Saturday I'd be throwing buckets everywhere. And I remember this conversation, Chris, you've got to choose, you've got to make your mind up. Is it, you know, the bus crash or is it buckets? And I'm sure they honestly thought, well, in the longer term, he's obviously, you know, he's going to say bus crash. And I went, it's got to be buckets, really, because it was the best fun. And I never, ever looked back. I took over producing, and I loved it. I mean, I did it for 7 years.
When did you realise that you'd created something? I mean, it was just a complete one-off, Tis Was. There'd never been anything like it. There's probably not been anything like it since, really.
Nor should there be.
Kids telling. No, that's true.
I've been looking at some pictures, and it's like, what were we doing? Yeah. The cage and all that stuff.
The complete irreverence.
That was your favourite, wasn't it? The cage.
The cage. And the band used to get in there.
Yeah.
I remember
everybody.
I do remember like a couple of members of Genesis in there.
Genesis. I remember Phil and Mike Rutherford standing in flower pots with these really ill-fitting green tights, revealing virtually everything, with sunflowers around their heads on Compost Corner with Lenny. Compost Corner with Lenny Henry 1 week.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody did. I mean, I suppose for bands travelling around the country and plugging their new album or whatever, it was like that was the best fun.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I said somewhere the other day, I remember one morning vividly rolling about in custard with Chrissie Hynde, Annie Lennox and Sheena Easton. And I thought, I'm being paid for this. This is the peak of my life.
That's what I was interested in as well.
Good gig.
I knew, of course, about your involvement with the Lord's Taverners, and you were president one time, and you're very committed to it. But I didn't realise that the first match was Taverners against Tis Was.
Oh, yeah, Trent Bridge.
Yeah, and it sounded quite a lively game.
Well, the thing is, all these actors, like, I remember Dennis Waterman came up, Robert Powell, they all came up, Leslie Crowther, bless him, all sorts of people came, their very best, I think Wogan came in, their best whites for the occasion, all that. And we didn't know them. you know, we just lived in the Midlands throwing buckets of water over each other. So we did them, and the place was packed, all mums and kids, whatever. We sold the place out. So that side of it was good. And we just did what we do. So we had exploding stumps, we had soot bombs, we had all that stuff.
Tried gun, that in the IPL.
Great big gunge tank, the Phantom Flam Fling came running out and attacked Leslie Crowder with pies and all that. And they, I mean, they sort of went, well, thank you so much. I did agree to pay for all the dry cleaning because they were just completely trashed. But about 6 months later, it's Fred Rumsey, who was the local president, the great cricketer at the time. He said, I don't think it was one of my better ideas. I said, no, I'm really sorry, mate, but I think it was. And about 6 months later, the taverners rang me up and said, we've been having a meeting. Would you like to join the taverners? I went, oh, yeah, but why? And they said, well, I'll be honest, we'd rather have you with us than against us. And so began, I mean, 30, 40 years of the happiest time. Well, you come to taverners, best fun.
Yeah.
And met all my heroes, you know. Yes.
You mentioned someone we worked with, the director, the legendary director of Tiswas, who went on and did Bullseye and stuff, Peter Harris. Yes. We worked with Lesson. Peter.
He went on to the Muppets and all
in
that.
The Muppets, yeah.
He was a wonderful
incredible
character.
Bloke, wasn't yeah. he? Hello, love.
Yeah, hello, darling.
A flamboyant
he'd come with,
I went to his house once. We were working on something together, so I had to go to his house.
And, yeah, we were working on a... But he was a brilliant director, wasn't
brilliant.
He? Yeah, very,
quite
very
brilliant.
Good.
Flowers in the gallery. Our producer's the same.
Fresh flowers in the... Our producer's very like that. He wants fresh flowers in the gallery every day.
Dream on.
I love the story as well. You tell a story of basically going out for a few days, kind of minding Frank Carson in Great Yarmouth, God. But you make him sound like... It's like looking after Led Zeppelin and the Stones.
It was worse than that. I mean, I love his memory, and I really miss him, actually. But he was just a nightmare because he was relentless.
Yeah.
He was just relentless. And he was doing summer season in Great Yarmouth. I was supposed to stay for a week, and I actually rang my PA the next morning and said, can you ring his agent and say, I've got to go home today? And he said, no, you're there for a week. I said, no, I'm not going to come home. He was like, meh, there's a cracker. And everywhere he went.
Yeah. And he liked to drink as well, didn't he?
He loved to drink, and it loved him. And I mean, I was just worn out. And all these waiters and people who obviously were in the same restaurant every day and they saw him come in and whatever, they had this thing that sort of Carson glaze was like, oh, God, here he comes again. I used to ring Ruth, his missus, and say, is Frank there? It's Chris. And she went, no, he's not here. It's bloody lovely. He'd wear you down. I mean,
There's also the you were talking about autographs and selfies and autographs and people. There's a lovely story. I mean, look, we won't tell all the stories, and there's so many of them. But there is a lovely one involving a bit of a somebody thrusts an autograph book and asks for a name, and you didn't look up.
Oh yeah, I thought you meant the first one I ever didn't sign, because that was a different thing as well.
Yeah.
No, I was going to Lords actually for cricket. I'd done Cabot Radio. I was shooting up to Lords, as you know, it's just up the road. And I forget, it was a really big game, and there was something happening overnight with West Indies, and I think it was West Indies and England. It was all very tense and very exciting. And as I arrived, it was a bit late, and you could hear roars from inside, so there was a wicket or something. And some bloke said, hello, Chris Tarrant, will you sign this for my kids? And I went, yeah, sure, mate. The trouble is, if you do that, and you're quite sort of tall and, you know, blonde, or blondish, still a few tufts, a sort of little queue starts.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I just want to be in there watching. Yeah, it's all right, man. And then something, oh, Dave, hello, Dave. And I went, and this went on for a few minutes, and I'm twitching, but being charming. And this hand sticks out with a bit. He said, can you sign that for me, mate? I said, yeah, who to? And he went, Paul. So I went, okay, to Paul. And I just looked up, and there was this very well-known Paul putting his fingers to his lips going, and it was McCartney. He just got back in the car and drove. He had a house around the back of St John's Wood.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. You mentioned Capital, and you did the breakfast. Was it 17 years?
Yeah. Yeah, look at that lovely unmarked face. Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, as we know from Alan Brazil, it takes its toll.
Well, it certainly did on him. Yeah. His body was a temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that
no, I enjoyed it. I mean, I actually loved it. I mean, now, most of my... You know, mates from showbiz days. They're nearly all from Capital. Mm. Most of the millionaire lot around the world on their yachts.
Yeah.
And obviously before that, you know, whatever. But most of my hardcore chums that I go out with still, if I'm up in London or they come over my house and stay, are the Capital lot. Because when you jam together in a studio, you know, in the cold, dark mornings in February or something, you know, you actually have to get on with people. And we became very close. You know, we got rid of one or two that we didn't like much.
Yeah.
But we became a real hardcore. And we travelled the world with Capital. I mean, we had so many outside broadcasts.
You talked about some of the outside broadcasts.
Well, one we did, we kept losing. We were in Portugal. And we kept losing the signal and dropping out and going back to London. It was a right shambles. And I said to one of the engineers, I said, what's that? He said, oh, I don't know. I'll have to sort this out. The telephone line's dropping out and all that. So he said, I'll sort it, don't worry. He disappeared into engineering things for the lunchtime. And he came back and he said, it's all right, be good tomorrow and all that. So it was absolutely sweet as a nut the rest of the week. Clear, didn't drop out, kept the signal and chatted away from Portugal, whatever. Various competition winners and all that. It was only on the Friday going home, I said to Pete, I said, that was good, that. Thanks for doing that. What did you do? Don't talk to me in engineering terms. He said, well, no, because he said, nothing complicated. We basically wired the show in to a German holidaymaker's home. So this bloke, his phone bill would have been...
Wow, imagine the shot. Who are you doing on the phone to? On the Capital shows, you did a kind of forerunner. One of the on-air competitions was a bit of a forerunner to Millionaire, wasn't it?
Double or Quits.
Yeah.
Double or Quits.
So that's
pound,
where the inspiration came from.
Yeah, and then Dave Briggs, my producer on for years on Capital, he went off to seek his fortune in the big bare world of television. And to be honest, I mean, he's now... a very successful gentleman. Mm. But he struggled. For a couple of years, he was struggling and he couldn't really make headway with stuff he was trying to do. But he rang me out of the blue and he said, look, that Double or Quits thing we did, I've got a sort of TV version. Would you be interested if I can sell it as a series? And I remember saying to him quite clearly, I remember saying, Dave, I'm really busy, mate. I'm doing Tarrant on TV. I'm doing Capital Radio. I'm supposed to be doing some weird filming thing in America, whatever. I said, I haven't got time. I really haven't. Can you imagine how stupid that would have been? But the man who turned down Millionaire. But I said, look, I'll do your pilot. Because the only people David knew from on telly, if you like, were me and Kenny Everett.
Mm.
And Kenny doing Millionaire. It would have been good. It would have been very interesting.
Would have been different.
All done in the best possible time. And all that. He said, well, all right, just do me a pilot. So I did the pilot up at Wembley. And I've been sitting there thinking, this is actually quite good. I quite like this. And we sort of thought, well, we might get 3 years' work out of it, you know, if we're lucky, sort of thing. It's just that simple. And
you made
we
over 600, didn't you?
Hey?
600 episodes?
Not 600 grand.
No.
600 episodes.
No. More. I think it's closer to 700. It was a lot of shows.
A lot of people talk, I don't know, I mean, it was a big thing, the major, but the coughing major, but it was much more than that, the show, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was. Yeah. Everywhere it went to number one, literally everywhere, including obviously the UK, America, but in Australia, but every territory it went to, all over the world, 120 countries, it went to number one. Mm. Maybe for a month, maybe for 3 months, whatever. That lovely guy, I think it's Amitir Bakum, you pronounce it, he's the Indian host, very famous Bollywood actor.
They made a film out of it, didn't they?
Yeah, well, eventually, but it wasn't him, but it was about the whole Millionaire thing. And it was just huge. I mean, he was like Tendulkar. I mean, him and Tendulkar are the only two people. He couldn't go out of his house.
Wow.
He was mobbed everywhere he went. Hugely lovely man. And the first time he came, he said, he was making some notes during rehearsal. He said, do you think tonight I could sit in your audience? I mean, yeah, of course you can. I'm doing it anyway. You're very welcome. Bodyguard out of the side of him. I went to the loo with him and his two bodyguards. It was quite bizarre. and the audience all sat down. We were just about to start the show. And nobody recognised him from Adam, obviously, except there was a couple in the front from Southall.
Hmm.
Who suddenly turned and went, oh my God, it is him. He is here among us. And started climbing up the seats. Wow. And these bodyguards are grabbing him. So we had to move him into the director's box. But I interviewed him a couple of years ago. And I said, how's it going? He said, well, it is beginning to lose the magic of the... I said, well, you've been on for 10 years, mate. You know, we did 17, but, you know, you've been on for 10 years. I said, what sort of ratings you get? He said, they are well down. He said, last Saturday night, there were 230 million. I went, oh, no, I don't know how you can... 230 million.
Wow, wait,
it's struggling.
That's incredible. That's amazing.
And it's a country where, you know, half the country haven't got electricity. They have to go next door to watch the telly and then...
Yeah. Well, there's so much we haven't got round to, unfortunately. We've talked to you about Extreme Railways. That's been a fun project for you, hasn't it?
But I mean, stop
fun
COVID.
Yes.
Stop.
Well, might you come back to
that? I don't know, because everywhere's... I mean, we all assume, because now we're all running about not wearing masks and things, it's all safe. But the sort of extreme places we went to and want to go to, Southeast Asia, still no good. Yeah. India, no good. South America, still very scary. And you don't want to do, you know, trains full of people with masks.
No, that's true.
In March 2020, when it all started, we were supposed to be going to Mongolia and China for the next episode. Luckily, somebody said, we might hold on this one. So we probably would never go back there. So, I don't know. I'm actually having a really nice time. I'm not working very hard. I'm actually, it's all right.
And about a second book to work on, clearly.
Well, obviously.
Yes. So when's it out, Chris?
It's out now.
Oh, good.
Even as you speak. I think it was out last week, actually.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
It's not a proper job.
It's not a proper job. And you are living proof, you two.
Indeed.
Us three, we are living proof. And Wogan used to say, bless him, he used to say, I've never done a day's work since I left the bank in Dublin. And I know what he meant.
Yeah.
I know what he meant. We all know what he meant.
And who's it published by?
Northern.
Okay. Good stuff.
Very nice, very nice, very nice publishing company. I like that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's good, isn't it?
Do you like that?
I think the fans should take violins to the game.
That'd be a nice idea. That's Orchestra Cinematique, their version of Three Lions. We've been playing some other versions of Three Lions. You'll be surprised if you go to Spotify, you'll find quite a few different versions. We've had rock and roll, death metal, and now orchestral.
Lovely.
So, of course, very much in the news, as you've just been hearing with Fletch. But it's time now for the birthday spread. And normally the way it works is Charlie's here, Andy's down the line. But once again, Andy's in situ, and Charlie's joining us from somewhere in Oxfordshire. Last time he was out shopping, giving the plastic some hammer. Where do we find you today, Charlie?
I've just done the school run.
Nice.
And I've whizzed home, and I've given my daughter some old Easter egg that I found in the cupboard. And I've offered her, she can watch anything on the television, and she's chosen Stacey Solomon, Sort Your Life Out. So
something wrong with your line, isn't there?
It's doing a funny thing to your voice.
You sound like this.
You're sounding like this for some reason. It's like Terry Alderton's
Chris
joining
us. The Chris Eubank line.
Yes, the old Chris Eubank line. You say, I don't know quite what's going on. I mean, maybe we should just keep it going for comic effect.
Yeah, but,
but it's not sounding like you, Charlie. It sounds like you're doing an impression. But look, we're working with what we've got. I know you've had some issues.
Well, is this any better now? I'm closer to the router.
No, it's not. Really.
Well, that's not
it's a bit. You said you didn't like those. Yeah, no. It's a bit like. It's a bit that. It's a bit Little Britain.
Shall I call back in on a phone line?
No. Keep going. It's fine.
Okay. We just keep going.
Not bad as mine.
We'll keep going. So, Jeff Peters joins us, I believe, from the Nerve Centre. There is that phone.
Well, you say it's the East Midlands Nerve Centre. It's the East Midlands Nervous Centre because
nice.
Of the
Very
big
good.
Game yeah. tonight, Leicester at Roma. So, come on.
Yes. How you feeling, Jeff?
I'm just getting more nervous as the day has gone on. But
you weren't tempted to go. You weren't tempted to head to Rome.
No. I'll be covering the game tonight alongside Courtney Sweetman Kirk, so we'll be keeping a close eye on it on TalkSport and TalkSport 2. As Jake Watson said earlier on, I think that Roma are not the Roma of old, but they're still a very difficult team, and it's going to be just an incredible atmosphere in the stadium. But they've got a chance, so why not go for it?
Absolutely. Okay, well, I think let's explain how it works if you've never heard it before, where you've been. There are 10 birthdays coming up. Andy has found 10 birthdays from the week, not just from today. And, Sean in Salford says, Charlie, can you just say suffering succotash? Could you do that for us, Charlie?
Suffering succotash.
Oh, it's got slightly better. Oh, that's a shame. I was quite enjoying it.
I've put some headphones in. I found some headphones. I think that's fixed it.
Okay.
It's a lot better now.
That's a shame. Good. That's a shame.
What a sad
take the
sad
headphones
state of
off, Charlie.
What a sad state of affairs.
Sad state of affairs. Okay, 10 birthdays coming up. Andy's got a top quality gag attached to each one. Charlie and I have to guess how old these people are. And we'll have a margin of error. We won't get them all right. No one could do that. And so the margin of error builds. The one with the lowest margin of error when they've guessed the 10 people's birthdays is the winner. Jeff, I believe Charlie won the last time out, didn't he?
I can't remember, but it's 2030. Let me just have a little look.
I think Charlie did win. Remember,
I did. Chris Riddle. He won on Chris Riddle, one by two. So 2013 it is.
Marvellous. So Charlie, you're going to lead us off, and Pele's joined us.
How lovely.
Nice. It is. And it's a very happy birthday to the actress from Pulp Fiction, Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman.
I'll never forget that year at the Brits when she completely ignored Paloma Faith. Yes, it was Una Paloma Blanca.
There we go. Nice. A bit of a Blanca, yes, nice.
Smashing.
How old is she, Charlie?
Smashing. I think she's 58.
58, that's a pretty good guess. I'll go 56.
52.
Oh, sorry, Uma, if you're listening. What's the chance of Uma Thurman listening to...
She's a big Orient fan, so she's always...
She probably is, yeah.
Always listening. Charlie is 6 out and Paul is 4 out on that one.
Okay, 6-4. Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Birthday number 2, it's Engelbert Humperdinck. Oh, and, yeah,
Leicester, big Leicester
big
fan.
Big Leicester fan, oh, yeah. He is. Yeah. And not many people know this, but he invented the Panenka-style penalty before the great Czech player did it in 1976. You must have heard of the Engelbert Humperdinck over the keeper.
Oh, very nice.
I was in the lift with him at the KP Stadium once, and I just thought, if we break down, don't say it, Jeff. Just don't say it.
Be very. What do you think they should do? Ideally, they need to get us out of here. But have you got another turn of phrase, Engelbert, that might work? I'd say it's got to be 90, isn't it? 92, Engelbert. God bless him. What do you think, Charlie?
Lukaku's favourite song, of course, Please Release Me. Yeah.
Enough of that.
I think you're about right. 94.
Oh
no, he's only 86.
Oh, sorry, Engelbert.
Oh no,
we're upsetting all the showbiz
stars. Wrong way, Regal.
Yeah, there it goes. So, what's that done to the scores, Charlie?
Charlie 8 out, moves on to 14. Paul 6 out, moves on to 10.
Okay, it's pretty tight at the moment. Hope you're playing along at home. Deepest depth, people wanted you to say, David wanted you to say that, but sadly,
it's not really working.
Yeah.
Fixed it.
One for Freddie Davis, Freddie Patface Davis was being channeled. He's fixed it. What a great shame. So anyway, it's Charlie next. Take your headphones off, Charlie. So, right, next one.
It's the TV chef, Ken Hom. And I know Ken quite well, actually. He always likes me to ring him up before the game to tell him when the kickoff is. I have to say to him, it's coming home, it's coming home, football's coming home.
We had that great old clip with Alan, didn't we? I mean, before you said, I don't know if we could ever find it, but it's we can't, apparently. Never found it. We can't. It was Alan, happy birthday, says to the great Chinese chef, Ken Wok.
Ken Wok. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's so brilliant.
Harold's Ken Hom.
Ken Wok.
Yeah, Harold's Ken.
Ken Wok. It's a Ken Hom tribute act.
Yeah. Coming home.
Yeah, that's very, it was good, Andy, yeah.
Wow, hey, yeah. Get on Mock the Week. how old's Ken Hom? 72.
Yeah, I got a little bit older, 76.
73.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what's that done, Jeff?
Yeah, very tight. Paul, 3 out onto 13. Charlie, 1 out onto 15. I once met Ken and his family in the car park beneath the London Stadium.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the Homs under the hammers. But anyway.
That's not bad.
That's good. That was good.
I'll put that down for next year.
Hom Sweet Hom, Hom Advantage, Charity Begins at Hom. I mean, there's so many.
When you do your little topper gags, I don't normally get a chance to see Andy's face. But I can see Andy's face when you do them at the moment.
Not good.
And
the fury. Well,
let's just say he's very supportive of your work, Jeff. Very supportive. next one.
Better than you laughing inwardly. Okay, here we go. It's the choreographer,
yeah,
Ronald Hind. Mm-hmm. And I once caught Gary Neville raiding the contents of Ronald's mailbox. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw Neville take the hind post.
Thank you. That's very good. That is very good.
I don't get that, but never mind.
It's Devil take the hind. We've never heard that phrase, Devil Jeff. They never made it to the East Midlands, that phrase. I think it probably has. Devil take the hind most. No.
Oh, for goodness.
It's a generational thing.
Anyway.
Wasn't worth it in hindsight.
Okay.
Put that one down.
The choreographer. The choreographer, what's his name?
Ronald Hind.
I thought you were going to release the Hinds. I thought you were going down that route. Release the Hinds.
Hinds of love.
Yeah.
57 varieties. Could have gone that way.
I thought you were calling. I thought you were going for 57.
It's a workshop.
Yeah.
For next year.
We'll workshop it. 75. What do you think, Charlie? Ronald Hind.
85. I'm going for it. 85.
Ooh, good move by Charlie there. He's 91.
Oh, wow. Okay. Ooh, well, that makes it interesting. What's happened?
Yeah. Jeff?
It's Ronnie Hines, love. Yeah. We'll get Ronnie Hines, love, at the Palladium, dear.
Ronnie Hines.
Charlie storms into the lead. He's 6 out on that. Moves on to 21. Paul, 16 out. Oh, now on 29. So 29 place to 21.
Well, we're heading to half-time after this fifth birthday.
Okay, she was brilliant in Frasier. It's the actress Jane Leaves.
Yeah.
The first time I met her, she was with her family, actually, sunning themselves on Malibu Beach with Mama Cass, who stayed in the shade. She was pale, but all the leaves were brown.
Okay. It's very good. It's very good.
Hang on, she's just ringing me. Oh no, it's Leaves on the line.
Oh,
God.
No.
I made a mistake of sending them to him yesterday. So he's had a lot of time to work.
He's barely slept.
It's 3:25 next week. We're back.
He probably brought in a team of writers. They had a writer's room saying, I need something for Leaves. You've got 10 minutes. Now get on with it.
Leaves. Any Leaves jokes?
Anyway, Charlie, Jane Leaves.
It's me, is it?
Yeah.
Worst actor in American sitcom nearly of all time.
Are you serious?
High praise indeed.
I'm going to say hey, she is 65.
65. Maybe a bit younger than that. 59.
61.
Ooh,
that's close. Yeah, a little bit.
So what's that? Does we head into half time, Jeff?
Yeah, exciting. Paul, 2 out, moves on to 31. Charlie is 4 out, on to 25. So 6 in it at the halfway stage.
It's still a lot to play for at halftime. 25 plays 31. Charlie's still in the lead, but only just. More.
Blind Dave just sent me a text saying, please take me back to Colditz. Can't stand the jokes.
The jokes are that bad. Blind Dave Healy wants to go back to Colditz. Yeah, that's how bad the material is today. And throw away the key. Thank you, Dave.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Time to get something to eat and maybe a beer or a cup of tea at half time. But we are back for the second half for the birthday spread with me on 31 after 5 birthdays. Charlie on 25. He leads by 6. And Pele's back. Mm. Here's Pele. Here we go then. I think it's me to lead off as we kick off the second half. Andy.
It's the fabulous cricketer Brian Lara.
Oh,
Brian
yeah.
Lara. And Bryce has invented a video game, actually, where you own and run your own Scottish hillside farm. Yeah. It's called Lara Croft.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Nice. What's Brian Lara? 52. I'm going to go for. What do you
52.
Think?
52.
Yeah.
55.
53.
Ooh. It's getting closer.
It's a tight game.
Very close.
Tight game, this.
Paul closes the gap. It's now 32-27.
22-27. Okay, Charlie will lead off for birthday number 7.
Birthday number 7 is the organic chemist and master of Gonville and Caius College, Cambridge, from 2012 to 2018. Professor Sir Alan Furst. Sir Alan Furst, yeah. I remember him singing Baby Come Back with Eddie Grant in his band. It's great to see Furst amongst equals.
Furst amongst equals. I thought you were going to go, he was on with Adrian Football Furst or something.
I think we did that one last year.
Yeah,
yes.
I can't tell.
It was.
How are you spelling Furst?
F-E-R-S-H-T.
F-E-R-S-H. Yeah, Furst. You're right.
You're my last, you're my everything.
Yeah. That just sounded normal with your line.
Yeah.
All right.
Get those headphones off, Charlie. It was much more entertaining. Okay. We got guess the 8. That's the whole point of the game. It's you. It's you, Charlie. Yeah, Gonville and Keys.
Gonville and Keys. Yeah. Remember them. Who's on first? Is that Who's on first?
Who's on first?
Who's on first?
Yeah.
It was before Andy Gray was with him.
Yeah. It was a vent act that Richards did for many years. Crackling the dots.
Gone villain key.
Yeah, go
88,
on then. 88. That's okay. 88 you've gone with. 81.
79.
Ooh.
Oh.
There we go then. This could be the moment. What's happened, Jeff?
It's turned around. Charlie, 9 out, onto 36. Paul, you were 2 out, so you're on 34. There's 2 in it. Paul, you are currently in first place.
What a game.
What a game.
Birthday number
What
eight.
A game.
Number eight.
Okay. Yes, it's the. This is an actor. I've got him more as a TV presenter. It's Isla St. Clair.
Isla St. Clair. Oh, yes, lovely. The Generation Game. She, with Brucey,
yeah, she contacted
lovely,
my.
Match no, was she with Brucey?
With,
she
Larry,
was with
Grayson.
Larry Grayson.
Larry Grayson, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. She Look at the muck in here.
Yeah, yeah, much, and other catchphrases. Shut yeah, 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 yeah.
Are we ready?
Yeah, go on.
She contacted
I said to Everard.
Yeah, yeah.
She contacted my matchmaking service, but refused to be channeled into offers of marriage with Manfred Mann or Jim White. For obvious reasons, really.
Isla Mann.
And Isla White.
Isla White.
Isla White, yeah, lovely stuff.
Yeah, that's
very
nice. Fantastic.
You have all to put the kids together for that.
All the kids, what an education they get. The Equals Manfred Mann. All the top bands of the moment. All the top pop combos of the day. Okay, Isla Sinclair. 71. What do you reckon, Charlie?
Might be a bit harsh. Might be a bit harsh. Yeah. I don't know. No, I think you're about right. What was she?
What do you reckon, Charlie?
Yeah, I reckon you're about right. 76.
She's 70. I was surprised. I thought she'd be younger.
I thought she was about 66 or something. Yeah. But anyway, that does put me in slightly better. This is quite tricky because it means I have to go first on the last one with not a particularly big margin, Chuck. Yeah, so it could have worked out well. It's almost like you planned it, Charlie.
There's still two to go.
Oh, is there still two? Sorry about that.
Yeah, so Paul won out.
Is that a pep?
Yep. On to 35, Charlie, 6 out, just falling away a little bit. He's on to 42. 7 in it, 2 to go.
Not much. Okay, Charlie, you're first, and here we go.
Okay, Charlie, it's the great film director, Dame Jane Campion. Jane Campion. And her family were at the Freddie Mercury voting.
I thought they might just do the punchline.
2021.
And what did they say?
Well, they were making a right racket, and they were so arrogant when I asked them to shut up. They said, why should we? And burst into a loud version of, we are the Campions.
Radio Gaga. Yeah. Charlie, Jane Campion.
Dame Jane Campion. Ooh. I could go real. Oh, gosh.
The piano.
68. Yeah. 68.
Yeah, you're probably about right. 64, I'm going to go for.
Ooh, it's back on. She's 68.
Okay, is that enough, though, for Charlie to lead off?
No. It's 4 out, Paul, so you move on to 39. Direct hit. Charlie stays on 42. 3 in it. Paul, you're in the lead going into the final one.
Right, so I lay down the marker for Charlie.
Here comes Regals.
This is the way to do it. Here we go, then, Andy. Final birthday.
Either way, couldn't it? It's the painter Frank Auerbach. And I once wasted at least 60 minutes looking at his paintings, which I didn't like. Yeah. I'll never get that hour back.
Frank Auerbach, the painter. Wow.
Frank Auerbach.
I'm going to go...
How old do you think, Paul?
I'm going to go 91, Charlie. 91. Happy 91st birthday to Frank Auerbach. 91 today.
There we are.
It's a lot of
candles. What if I got to 3, Jeff?
You got 3, so you need to be 4.
So you want to change it by 4, so you want to go...
So I need to see 95 or 87, is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. Regals. Oh, God. Forever Regals.
What do you think? 95,
87.
He's gone 87. How old's Frank Auerbach?
Well, it's all in vain because Frank Auerbach, spot on, 91.
No!
Oh!
Well played.
Sat next to him. Yeah. He's got those flickering eyes.
No.
I saw it. I've seen him miles do it away. At Cheltenham. He's got those flickering eyes.
Pure luck. Just for old time's sake, Charlie, Ooh. Just very quickly, sign off and unplug those headphones so the people that weren't listening at 3:30 get the joy of listening to your voice. So here we go. Are they coming out? So here we go.
I think it's an absolute disgrace that you didn't finish the quiz.
Can you say... Can you do what the list... Can you say suffering succotash for us?
Suckering succotash.
That's good. Deepest depth. Could you give us that one? All the listeners have asked, please. Can you give us for Gunter the... Can you say, I'm sick, sick, sick up to here?
I'm sick, sick, sick up to here. Yeah, and I have to watch Stacey Solomon with my daughter.
Well, thank you, Charlie. You're back on Saturday with Max, I understand.
I am indeed. 9 till 11, Saturday morning.
Brilliant. Okay.
Good
Cheers,
game,
Charlie.
Well
Thanks
played.
Very much. Thank you, Jeff. Enjoy the game tonight. Good luck.
Thank you. 39-46, the final score. Paul leads Charlie, 21-13.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Andy's back. We'll have the clips of the week returning. I imagine we've got quite a look at the producer. I imagine we've got quite a lot to go through, haven't we? No? Oh, maybe not.
Jamie said he was disappointed.
Disappointed. Okay, we've had about 3 weeks worth. Maybe the listeners just eased off a bit. Anyway, we'll fashion at least a dozen for you, I'm sure. And we'll have all the regular Friday stuff, and we'll look back on the European night. I do hope you can join us from one. If not, podcasts will be available at around four. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.